Psalm 63. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory, because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips my mouth will praise you. On my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. They who seek my life will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God's name will praise him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Let us pray. Lord, speak to us now, that we may go from this place different, having met with you. Amen. I chose this psalm for me, actually, because I gave option for everyone to choose, but it's a psalm. It's one, actually, many, many, many moons ago, in my 20s, I studied and looked at, and those particular words at the beginning had a real impact on me. It was just that whole desperation that came through. And when I'm having a particularly bad time, I turn to the Psalms. I always turn to the Psalms. I love reading through them. When I'm really having a tough time, it's just something about the Psalms that speaks to me. It helps me, I think, to recall what God has already done, but also to recall what he will do in my life. So it reminds me that, because there's a lot of stories in the Psalms in there about what God has already done, the stories of the people and how their God has delivered them. And it reminds me that God's going to do that again in my life. So when I'm having a bad time, the Psalms has become really important to me to engage with it. It's important that we read the Psalms in context, though, of when they were written to fully understand their meaning. Got to look at the context of them. So much like today's songwriters, I know Steve said a little bit about this last week, but much like the songwriters of today, the psalm writers wrote the Psalms. They depicted the life of the people. That was the point. A lot like our songs today, there's a story, isn't there, quite often behind the worship songs today of why they were written, that's written by the people. So this depicted the life of the people, the hope of the people, and who God was to them in that very moment. And it's good to remember that as we read it. These are kind of living word, God's living word, isn't it, for us? One of the writers, of course, was King David. But when it says that this is a psalm of David, it actually means it's attributed to David, which means means it's very likely he did write it due to the contents and the context. Can't be amazingly absolutely sure, but we can assume he did. So it's attributed to him. Psalm 63, this psalm, is certainly about David, and so I will refer to the psalmist as David, but it is attributed to him, so I want to make that clear. These were, like I say, the worship songs of the day. When I was doing my degree, one of the essays I did was, who is the I in the Psalms? And actually, the conclusion was that the I in the Psalms is actually we. They were sung, they were read together as a community, and it was understood that they represented the whole of the people, the whole of their story, and that was the point. It was about community. The Jews, of course, had a great sense of community. If the people sinned, they understood that they were all affected. If they were joyful, they shared the joy. If they suffered, they joined together in suffering. And the stories in the psalm, the truths of these psalms, the life things that are shared here are for all the people. So here we have the stories of God's people, true stories of God's people. When I say story, I always think it makes it clear. Their battles, their joys told through the psalms. There's times of lament. There's times of celebration. And they're written by different people for all the people. So that kind of outlines to you where the Psalms are, what's going on here, and kind of how we should read them together and how we should think of them in our own lives. So although Psalm 62 is attributed to David, say it is written to help the whole community engage with the one true God, the God that David is absolutely certain of. And that comes across so clearly in all the things he writes, all the psalms he writes. David is certain of his God. It's wonderful. That's a man seeking after God's own heart, it says in one of the scriptures, and that's what we see here. The psalm is actually split into two parts. Verses 1 to 8 is David seeking after God and how he trusts God. It talks about him seeking and trusting God. And verses 9 to 11, we have David prophesying the end of his enemies, and that's quite wonderfully graphic, isn't it? But David here is in the desert. He's probably a running away from Absalom, his third son, his own son. He's running away from him. In 2 Samuel, he's actually described as the most handsome man in the kingdom. We have this wonderful vision of him, don't we? But he rebels against David, his father. It's this amazing man rebelling against his father. And you can imagine the heartbreak there for David. Verse 11 states at this time that David was king. So it's in these desperate circumstances he writes a song to his God. But the psalm here starts with despair. Despair. This should help us, the readers, to engage with our own desperation. Have you ever been desperate? Are you desperate? But the point is, it should also push us into action. That's the wonderful thing about this psalm. You have the desperation, but you also have action. We are to earnestly seek God, like David did here. To earnestly seek him. When we're desperate, we go to God. David, thirst for God is more than water, it says. Can you imagine? Water is life and death. But his thirst for God is more than water. Putting your desperation into action, seeking the one who solves our issues first, more than anything. And the word thirst used here would have been understood as very extreme for the people. The people had been dry, they had been weary, they had been without water, they understood that. Some of us here will not understand what it's like to have no water. You know, I can remember, again, going to a particular country where the water was so rare, and they understood the desperation and the meaning of that. When there is no water, what that means is so desperate. But having God is more important than water. Can you imagine? Earnestly I seek. Actually, in the commentary, it says it actually means early I seek. Verse 1. In the RSV, NRSV, it just says, I seek you. But it's about seeking God continually. And that is emphasized here. Continually, desperately seeking God. He's desperate for his God. He knows where to go when he's desperate. The dry and weary land here is the whole of the area to the east, stretching south to the Dead Sea. David knows what it is to be in the wilderness. And the term for this land here is given to an area not cultivated or inhabited. It's an area used for pasture. It's without wood. It's lacking water, but there's a little bit of life there. And I don't know about you and me, sometimes I feel like that when I'm desperate. There's a little bit of life there. And that life, of course, is in Jesus. But sometimes it can feel like we are parched and weary and desperate. The wonderful thing about the dry and weary and parched land is that all through Scripture, God meets so many of his people there, doesn't he? Go back and have a look. People like Moses are met in the desperation, in the dry land. Elijah, he meets him in the dry land. David, he meets him in the dry land. Hagar was met in the dry land, desperate. We see God in the desert, in the hard times, in the difficult things. We see God. That's the point David's making here. You can see God in the dry land, in your desperation, in your wilderness. God meets his people. It's when we are dry that God reaches out to us and reaches into us. When we can do nothing but lay in his arms, seek his presence, rest in him. When we can say nothing or do nothing but trust God. Think of a time when you felt spiritually dry. Think of a time when you couldn't see the answer. You may feel like that now. I don't know. All you want, though, is a sense of the presence of Jesus, isn't it? God's in there. And it's not always about what we feel. It's about what we know. And that's why the Psalms are really important. It reminds me, when I'm having a hard time, it's not about what I always feel, but I know. Because my God has, and my God does, and it says here. I know. There are times we are dry. There are times when we need to cry out to Jesus, and it's all that we can do. David knows the truth. That's the thing. He knows the truth. He knows that the answer to his issue is God. We know the answer to our issue is Jesus, who is God, who came to earth, who died, who rose. But David is confident of his God. Why? Why is he so confident with God? You know, look at this. Why is he so confident? Because he recalls the past. He knows that God will deliver him in the future because he's already seen God deliver him in the past. He knows his story. And his God doesn't change. God doesn't change. He's with us continually. He loves us continually. He doesn't change his mind. Verses 2-5. Is David expressing his desires to see God in the sanctuary? He knows God is a God of power. Our God is not weak. Our Jesus is not weak. He conquered death on a cross. He's a God of power. He's experienced his glory. And he's seeking that glory again. He says, you know, I know where to go. I know my God can move mountains. Do you know that your God can move mountains? And then verse 4, I love this bit. God speaks of lifting his hands to God. Lifting his hands to God. The lifting of hands actually is submission to God for the Jewish people. It was really important when I first heard that. Because when we praise, you'll see sometimes I stick my hands in the air quite a lot when I praise. But when I do that, and reminding myself I'm submitted to God, that's why I do it. That's why when I praise, I don't care how you praise God. It's up to you. But when you know that, you think, actually, I'm just saying I submit to you, God. When I praise Jesus, the fact that I know that, it gave raising my hands in worship a whole new meaning. Meaning for me when I worship, I'm saying, I'm yours. That's all. Just saying I'm yours. It doesn't matter whether we worship with hands up or down. But it's not just a reaction to everyone else. I know in my heart it's because I'm saying I'm yours, Lord, and I know that means submission to you. The best thing that we can give, though, is our love to God. Do you believe that God's love is better than your life? Verse 3. Better than your life. Do you know that? If you were here last week, Steve wonderfully reminded us that God is love. But his very essence is love. He went further than that. It was his very essence, God love, basically. Same thing. Brilliant. And the point is, David knew that. King David knew that. What would you do to have the love of God in your life? How will you express that to others? What does love mean? David, you see, is having a really, really bad time. And yet, what does he do? He still seeks God. He still uses his lips to praise. To praise and worship. To praise and worship his God, even though he's having such a bad time. And we see that very much in verse 3. He praises, you see, regardless of his circumstances. And here we have the psalm of worship. Regardless of what I'm going through, I know my God, I love my God, he loves me, he is love, and I am going to worship him, regardless. David is so sure of his God, isn't he? And he wants the community to hear his words. He's saying to them, come on. It's hard at times, but you know what? God is God. He knows God will provide. Look at verse 5. My soul will be satisfied. Not might be. Not maybe. Again, this is not about, it's about what he knows. Maybe not what he's feeling at that moment. It's not I might be satisfied here. It's I will be. Because God will meet with me. What does that say to you? What does it say to you about how you live your life? Do you know that God will meet with you? This whole thing goes back to trust. Do you trust God? To love God is to trust him. Because if God loves me, that he's love, I have to trust him. Because love and trust kind of go together. Someone who loves me that much, I can trust. And I may not see the full picture. I may not be feeling it. But this is our God. Do you trust God? Will you worship him with your whole life? Giving worth to God is worship. With your whole life. For your whole life. You worship him with your whole life. For your whole life. So Psalm 63 encourages us to walk in the light. Encourages us to be honest with who we are. It's okay to say, I'm desperate. It's okay to say, I'm lost. Being honest and here where we are. And it's a reminder here that we are to praise whatever we are going through. Do I choose to praise? And choice is so important. We choose how we use our mouth. We choose how we live our lives. Do you choose to praise in the darkness as well as in the light? When it's hard, do you choose to praise just as much as when things look good? If your lips are busy praising God, it's an awful lot harder to grumble and moan, by the way, which seems to be the thing God, we've said this a number of times, we've just done Moses, has a real issue with the people. But if we are praising God, it's harder to grumble and moan. It's harder to gossip and criticize if you're praising God. It's hard because we live in quite a negative society a lot of the time. We need to combat that. We need to be different to our world, different to a community, different. We need to speak out good things. The next verse is, take us deeper into the depths of despair that David is feeling. Do not underestimate how much despair he is in. I think all of us probably can recall times when we've laid on our bed and we've sobbed. Who hasn't? If you haven't, praise God. But I suspect all of us have at times. Verse 6. The psalm covers the whole day. It's continual. Early he seeks God. Into the night he seeks God. There in the night, how many times as we seek to sleep, are there not times when we can, all we can do is think of our situation and we can't get sleep? Can't get sleep. There's so much on our mind. And what does David do? He pushes harder into God. He pushes harder into him. He goes even further into it, into his presence. He knows that the place of receiving is through the presence of a living God. Only through God do we receive when we're in such hardship. And there, God is our protector. It says he seeks the shadow of God's wings. Protection, verse 7. It's a protection from his situation. He knows God can protect him and guard him. And their next words, so powerful, verse 8. My soul clings to you. My soul clings to you. Your right hand, uphold me. Wow. In all of this, whatever's going on, all he does is cling to his God. Do you cling to Jesus? Do you cling to him when you're having a hard time? Do you cling to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? In God we have safety. In God we have hope. But here, you see, David is worshiping with his soul and flesh. That is his whole being. Attitude of worship. Not only when we come on a Sunday morning, we should have an attitude of worship. We should with our life, our whole being. I will worship God with my whole being, my whole life, all I am. Challenging, isn't it? I choose to do that. I choose to. That's what it's saying here. David is choosing to worship his God. And in the next verse, we have that source of stress, don't they? I've already mentioned the reason that David is in turmoil. This isn't a small issue, verse 9. There are those who really want to kill him. They want him dead. And there's more here, though, isn't there, to this? This is his son that wants him dead. The son who he loves, it's all somewhere about this being one of his favorite sons. This handsome son of his. This amazing son of his that he loves. He's dealing with betrayal from his closest. He's dealing with rejection of the worst kind. One of his own turning on him. Can you imagine? But he's sure of his protection. He knows God has a purpose, and that purpose is not fulfilled yet in him. He knows his enemy is going to fail, because David knows that God is on his side. He knows it. Doesn't just feel it. He knows it. He knows that those who lie don't win. He knows that God has the last word. So that's the psalm. Amazing, isn't it? But what's the challenge in there for you and me? I hope you picked some stuff up there that challenges you. But what does it say to us today? The Bible is a living word. It's not for yesterday, it's for now. What does it say to you and me? Firstly, I would say it says, trust God. Trust Jesus. Jesus who died, who rose, who is God. Who came to show us God. Who came to bring us into his presence. Choose Jesus' way. Jesus who came to show us the Father and his love. Seek his presence first. Even if all you can do is read the Psalms because you're having such a bad time. All you can do is rest and ask Jesus to hold you. Trust him. Seek to love God, the God who is love. Give your heart to him. Choose to love him. Love him because he's shown his love through his son. God is here today. Through Jesus, we can know him. Seek his glory. Seek his presence. Ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit. His power, his glory, working in me, living in me, through my mouth, through my actions, through who I am. Lord, take what I am. Take what I am. It may seem very little. It's all I have. But let it be God's. Say that to him. Let it be God's. Allow the Spirit into your life more than it ever has been allowed before. He's ever been allowed to move in your life before. And remain in praise. Remain in praise when others attack you. When others speak against you. When others come at you. Remain in praise. I will choose to praise even though it's tough. I will use my mouth to glorify God. What do you need to trust Jesus for today? What do you need to ask the Spirit to fill your life for? Do you need to ask God to help you to praise regardless of your circumstances? Do you need to read this psalm and say, Lord, I'm earnestly seeking you. It's hard, but I'm choosing to serve you first. Let the Psalms impact your life, change your life. And as a community, let them be our word for the people out there. Together, as God's community, share in each other's joys, in each other's sadness, in each other's lives. Let's be God's community, living God's way. Can I ask the band to come back up? I chose a good father to start with because it just made me think, it was just as we just remember, God is good. God is good. He wants to give you whatever you need in your life. He sees you in your pain. He sees you in your joy. He sees you in all the things that you're finding difficult at this moment. He is with you. He is not separate from you, our God. As you seek him, he wants to draw closer to you. Would you like to stand if you can? If you can't, it's fine. So we worship. And I'm just going to pray and ask the Lord just to, whatever it is you need to bring to God today, if it's that you need to bring your mouth to God, if you want to just bring him your heart of worship, if you want to just say, Lord, I am going to praise you regardless of what's going on. If you just need to lay in his arms, whatever stuff you need to bring, allow Jesus to work in you. There'll be people over there that will be available to pray with you. Please do get prayer ministry when you're here. So important, you know. Or if you're someone else that you want to be prayed for, just go and get prayed for. That's what we're here for, meeting with God. Let's just pray. Lord, I thank you and praise you. Our God who is with us in the drought, when it's dry, when we're weary, you are with us. You love us. You see us, help us to be like David, to call on you, to call on you. Come, Holy Spirit, Lord, and speak to our hearts afresh and anew. Come, Lord Jesus, minister to us now. We give you all our pain, give you our hard times and our good times. Help us to live for you. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.